Hey, up next on Downtown, excited to welcome back to the show one of our favorite guests and someone you can hear now all the time on her sister station, WKIT, as the host of the House of Hair. Welcome back, Dee Snider.
Hey, man, great to be back. Great to be back on KIT. KIT was one of my original stations. My House of Hair has been on 27 years. So people, while you weren't hearing it, It was still going out over the airwaves worldwide, but it's great to be back in Bangor.
I don't know what happened. I was not a party to that decision, but clearly they have finally figured it out and corrected what was a huge oversight on the part of the station, I think.
Yes, but it's a no-judgment zone. People come and go, and PDs and MDs, and the moods change, and then we realize that Dee Snider and the show would not go away, and neither was people's love for the music of the 80s. It's incredible how it still rolls on, you know?
Well, it is, and that music, although at the time, I'm sure, you know, nobody thought about it being long-lasting, except perhaps the people creating it, but what is it about that music? Because it's not as simple as, oh, hey, I love the songs that were popular when I was 15, 20, 25 years old, because new generations keep discovering this music.
Well, you know, with the help of shows like Stranger Things, you know, where the big finale is Metallica's Master of Puppets. I mean, come on, or shows like Peacemaker, movies like Guardians of the Galaxy. They just keep using these songs as their soundtrack, and I've got theories on that, man. Image wise, when people look at it, it just seems so wild and so different and so crazy and fun. I think young people look at it and go, that must have been really cool to be around back then. Kind of like the 50s for me, you know, looking back on the 50s. And the other thing is, I call it the middle finger factor. The 80s music, it didn't whine, it didn't complain. We're having a good time, we're partying, we're pissed off about things too, and, you know, up yours. You know, and it was a very conservative time as well, you know. I mean, it was the Reagan era, and so you sort of have this, you've got a very conservative president, conservative government, and all of a sudden the decade of decadence erupts.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, too, because I saw something you posted on social media recently about the Parents Music Resource Council and those hearings back in the day, and yes, Dee Snider did indeed speak up, and my recollection is that you spoke up more than anybody and were the most vocal proponent of ending censorship and not feeling like we needed to protect young people from music, for goodness sakes.
Well, thanks for acknowledging that. Yeah, that conversation came up because, I'm a Frank Zappa fan. Frank was there. Me, Frank, John Denver were the only three people who spoke out. I was the only one who was actually an artist who had been targeted by the PMRC for censorship. And I was watching this great Frank Zappa documentary put together by Ahmet Zappa, his son, with full cooperation of the family, total access to the Frank Zappa archives, which are extensive. And when they got to the Senate hearings, the PMRC, it goes, Frank was the only one who stepped forward and fought for rock and roll. And I was in my living room by myself, and I'm slowly raising my hand going, excuse me? And then it kept going. Why was Frank the only one brave enough to come forward? Frank was the only one who fought for rock. And I was going, whoa, I get, you know, people want to position their dad as a hero, and Frank Zappa certainly was a hero. I said, but to just run over me and John Denver in the process, you know, just a casual, you know, along with Frank, John Denver, and Dee Snider, that would have been fine. You don't have to focus on us, but yeah, they kind of eliminated us from the documentary.
Now, speaking of censorship, and we've talked about this with you before, it's strange how the pendulum swings that in many ways now that censorship comes from the other side of the political spectrum. And I don't know, to me, art shouldn't have to be all that careful.
100%. It's a bizarre swing of the pendulum, but, you know, it's oddly all over the place in different ways. You know, you got the PC police and the cancel people, culture out there, and that's a party. people have tried targeting me. I mean, you know, in reality, that Senate hearings and the PMRC were canceled me. my career at the time was very damaged by that whole thing, you know. But then you've got also this sort of return to Puritanism, where, you know, where we're, you know, and we're going to get political here, but, you know, women's rights to choose, something that's been around for 50 years is suddenly off the table now. You're rumbling about gay rights, you know, and re-looking at things. I'm saying, are we trying to roll back the clock here? So censorship in different ways is everywhere, and we are under attack. And I know that I don't want my granddaughter growing up in the 50s. Okay, like I said, it was fun when you look back on it, the greasers and all that. But as far as a time in history, it wasn't a better time. We moved forward from a lot of this stuff, and we've come far. I don't want to see the clock roll back at all.
We're talking with Dee Snider here on Downtown, the House of Hair, every Saturday night on our sister station, WKIT. Well, there's such a connection with you and the boss here, Stephen King, so it's great to have you back on Stephen King Radio. And we've talked about what you love about Stephen and his work, his inspiration through the years. What was it that Stephen loved about you guys in the day?
Listen, I'm glad you brought it up, because, I mean, there's so many. First of all, Stephen was the Zone back then, Z-O-N, and they were the first radio station to add Twisted Sisters. We're not going to. They were a top 40 station. The first station to add Twisted Sisters, We're Not Going to Take It. And that's because Stephen picked up the phone and said, I want to hear that song on the radio. Okay? So he opened that door. We did our first show of our biggest tour in our lives. That was the Stay Hungry tour, started in Bangor at Stephen's request, and of course we were consequently banned in Bangor the next day. it was 40 years ago, people. I was a little rough around the edges. And then when I, 27 years ago, we launched the House of Hair, it was KIT or ZON, I'm not sure which it was, but it was one of my first stations to add the show. First to come on board for the House of Hair, and now it's back with the House of Hair again. So he's been an incredible supporter of me. But you know, he and I did get to meet, and he knows that as I'm such a fan of his writing, and he's inspired me so much that I've written my first novel, and I've been writing now for 40 years. I finally felt qualified to put something out. It's called Fratch. It's not a horror story, but it's a coming of age story set in the 70s on Long Island, where I grew up, based on actual events. But if not for Stephen's inspiration of me over the years, even reading books like On Writing, where he talks about writing, you know, and he's been such an inspiration over the years. So to me, it's kind of beautiful. He's inspired me, and somehow he was listening to We're Not Going to Take It. I'm hoping that he got some inspiration from that along the way as well.
Well, we talked with you back in June about Fratz, and I love the book. It was so well done. It was a harrowing story based on those real-life experiences in many ways that you went through on Long Island back in the early 70s. How's the book been going?
You know what? Rockstar writes book. This is not, and nobody gives it a sniff, quite honestly, because, look, they are two different crafts. It's just like Rockstar does radio. Remember when David Lee Roth took over Howard Stern's spot?
Mm.
That didn't go well, because you can't just assume, because a person can talk on stage, they can talk on the radio. I've been doing radio for over 30 years now. I developed my craft, you know what I mean? It's you have a craft. And writing, you can't assume because someone is a singer in a rock band, oh, he must be a really good writer. So it's an ongoing thing. The book's out there, but people who are reading it and picking it up, reviews have been great. And I promise people, I'm telling you people out there, you check out Fratch, you don't like it, I'm giving a personal money-back guarantee. If you see me on the streets, and I walk around, you walk up to me and say, D, I really didn't care for Pratt's, I will reach in my pocket and give you your money back. Okay? So that's my personal guarantee. Not sure when I'll be walking around Bangor, but I might be. You never know. Stephen might invite me over for dinner.
Look, all I know is this. I read it. I couldn't put it down. I read the whole thing in one night because I wanted
to find out what was
going to happen at the end. And also, I loved the little nuggets in there that rang true. I thought, that relationship, that sounds a lot like Dee and his wife to me.
Yeah, I, you know, if people like romance, you know, I needed a romantic story in there, and Bobby Kovacs meets a girl named Angel Levitano, and I'm writing their story, and the only love story I know is the one I've had for 47 years. So I've got nothing to go with what you know, they say. And so that's the only thing I could draw on. So I even say in the opening dedication to Suzette, you know, my D-Hard fans who've been following me for a long time, maybe read my memoirs, may see a similarity between the relationship between Bobby and Angel and me and Suzette. You know, like I said, you got to go with what you know.
Well, read the book. It's terrific. What's the status of the graphic novel? He's not going to take it.
So it's been pushed back a couple of times, but I'm going to Comic-Con next week in New York, and where I'm signing a Funko Pops. I've got my own D. Snyder Twisted Sister Funko Pop, so I'm signing those for 3 days. And finally, we're signing advanced copies of He's Not Going to Take It, a graphic novel, not just on, as we talked about this before, but, you know, not everybody's listening all the time, so I'll tell them, it's not just about me going to Washington, it's about how I came to be that guy at that moment in time, that voice. And they did extensive interviews with me. Graphic novels tend to be a little more brainy than comic books, you know, even though they read like a comic book. And came down to the fact that I was pretty much told to shut up my whole life. And finally, I got tired of shutting up. And once I opened my mouth, I never stopped talking, as you can tell. So you know, and there I was all of a sudden in Washington fighting for rock and roll, contrary to the Zappa documentary.
And you've even got your own coffee now for the love of coffee.
Dude, I've got D. Snyder's For Love of Coffee. I've got D. Snyder's Rocka Vaca Vodka. Got to try that out. It's award-winning. People love it. I've got so much product. I don't make records anymore. I don't perform anymore. But damn, I've got stuff to sell.
Are you going to be doing any more acting in the future?
You know, I was supposed to do a movie with Ben Affleck and Adam Sandler.
Wow.
From the guys who directed that movie Uncut Gems.
Oh, wow.
Kind of, you know, brought Adam back to the fold. And they had cast me in a great role as Adam Sandler's ex-wife's husband, who was a real dick to him. And then I was supposed to film this summer, and of course the writer's strike and the actor's strike happened. So things have been pushed back, but that's the next project that I'm going to do. And I'm pretty excited because it's actually a legitimate dramatic acting role. You know what I mean? Where I'm not just playing D. Snyder as himself, you know, which I've done before. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. All right, I have to ask this question in regard to the House of Hair. We know who's number one, but behind you, who had the best hair of the 80s?
Thank you for acknowledging my hair. You know, I am the OG hair farmer. That was quite a crop, and one of my most annoying things that annoys me more than anything is when people refer to it as a wig, or say that I was wearing a wig, or say, are you still wearing the wig? Believe me, I wish it was a wig. It was like having a fur hat on every day, you know, all around the clock, even in the dead of summer. But that hair, number one. Who was behind me? You know, there were some fantastic heads of hair, but a lot of them were using the hairspray, which I never used, by the way. Mine was naturally buoyant. So I got to go with one of with actually my inspiration hair-wise, Robert Plant. No. Even though not a hair band, I mean, that hair helped define some of the hair that came later. You know what I'm saying? They had long hair back in the 70s, you know.
We've had David Coverdale on, and he claimed he had great hair back in the day. But then I think the last time he was on, he had just chopped it all off.
Yeah, David had fantastic hair. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Sebastian Bach's hair.
Oh, yeah.
Before Skid Row, he had wall scraping hair. I mean, he used he was in a band called VO5, which was a hair product, and he used to spray the hell out of it till it was scraping the ceiling. So he had some serious hair, but he had a beautiful, beautiful man. There were some great manes back then. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's no question about that. Now, I seem to remember Stephen King telling me a story about going with you to when you were in Bangor to like a pharmacy, a Rite Aid or something, to get some hair product?
Well, you know, I use one hair product exclusively, Vidal Sassoon's after shampoo finishing rinse. And this stuff really brought the curls out in my hair. And I used to buy it by the case. And if I ran out, it was almost like a panic moment, you know, like searching. Here's this guy in platform shoes rummaging through the local pharmacy. So you have the Vidal Sassoon finishing rinse. And I used to, on every album, I used to write, I use Vidal Sassoon's finishing rinse exclusively. And then around the fifth album, I said, hey, Vidal, are you listening? I never got so much as a free bottle of the stuff. And I'm promoting his product. So I actually went to the Vidal Sassoon main salon in London, and I walked in, and they wouldn't give me the time of day. I said, that's it. I'm off the product. I'm finding something else.
Dee Snider, The House of Hair, every Saturday night on our sister station, WKIT. Dee, it is great to talk with you again. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You know, Rich, thanks for having me on. Thanks to KIT and the family of stations for, you know, supporting the House of Hair and bringing me back to Bangor. Back in Bangor. I was banned in Bangor. Now I'm back in Bangor, especially, though, as a radio show host who gets a ton of books and content sent his way. And I did not read every book that was sent my way. I appreciate you took the time to read my book. Thank you, brother. It means a lot.